Good morning. Thank you for tuning in today. In case we haven't met before, my name is Daniel, and I'm one of the ministers here at Christ Church. And this morning, I will be reading, and I'll be reading our passage and speaking to us from it. So we'll be looking at 2 Peter. Before I read, allow me to lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can hear you speak to us today from it. We pray, Father, that as we spend some time thinking about your word this morning, we pray that you will cause us to have a greater confidence in your word, your words to us through the Bible. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are reading 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 today. Please do turn with me to 2 Peter. If you don't have a Bible, why not go on BibleGateway.com and look up 2 Peter. So we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 16 to 21. So starting at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father, when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also heard the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Last month, one evening, while I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, I came across a tremendously sad post from a friend announcing that he was no longer a Christian. His reason? He said he no longer believed the Bible to be true. I don't know about you, but I find it heartbreaking when I hear about someone walking away from Jesus, especially when it's someone I know. It's as though, in a sense, that person has died. And so I find it hard not to grieve that person's quote-unquote spiritual death. Now, to be fair to my friend, if he no longer believes the Bible, why should he remain a Christian? The Bible is the foundation of our faith. It teaches us about who God is, Father, Son, and Spirit, and about his cosmic salvation plan for his people. Stop trusting the Bible, and you'll stop trusting Christ, because he's revealed most clearly and fully in its pages. Even if we suppose we can read about him elsewhere, like in the Gnostic Gospels, the Quran, or New Age books, they can't give us the real Jesus, because their stories of him were fabricated centuries after he lived. The Jesus they present is a counterfeit one. Compare that with the New Testament, which was written within decades of Jesus' death. We must trust the Bible if we are to keep persevering as Christians. Or we could end up suffering the same fate as my friend. Jesus said that those who endure until the end will be saved. As we know, in Christianity, it's not about how well we start, but about how well we finish. So we need to ask ourselves, how can I make it over the finish line? The answer is, we must keep trusting God. And we can only do that if we continue to trust His word, because that is how we get to know Him, which helps us to continue growing in our trust of Him. So this all begs the question, can we trust God's word? Can we trust the Bible? That's our question today. Now, it's worth mentioning right out the gate that we will not be able to answer this question exhaustively this morning. There's only so much ground we can cover in a 20-minute talk. So please don't expect to have all your questions and doubts addressed by the end of today's meeting. Yet I do hope that our brief time this morning in God's Word will strengthen our confidence in the Bible. I've chosen for us to look at 2 Peter because it's a letter in which Peter addresses the issue of Christians being diverted from believing biblical truths towards believing worldly lies. See if you can spot it as we read chapter 2, verse 15. So chapter 2, verse 15. Peter says, "They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness." What is Peter saying here? He's saying that some of his contemporaries have abandoned the Christian faith and become idolaters. Although he's referring here to false teachers in particular, who seem to have fallen away, these teachers are also causing others to fall away. Have a look at verse 18. "For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error." Peter says that instead of believing God's word, people are falling for lies, which he also refers to as fabricated stories in verse 3. How are we to avoid falling for lies and subsequently falling away like these people did? We need to keep trusting God's word, the Bible. And why is it that we can trust the Bible? We can trust it because the New Testament authors have apostolic authority. That's our first point. We can trust the Bible because of the New Testament authors' apostolic authority. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 16. "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain." What does Peter say that he witnessed? The transfiguration, that incredible event that we read about in the Gospels, where Peter, James, and John are on a mountain with Jesus when he's suddenly transfigured and God speaks to them. This is how Matthew describes that event in chapter 17 of his Gospel. "There Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. A bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him.'" What is Peter doing in our passage by referring to the transfiguration? He's reminding his readers that he was there when it happened. He witnessed it with his very own eyes. Peter and his friends got a view of the glorified Jesus. They got a glimpse of his future state, the glorified state he'd have after his death, resurrection, and ascension. And not only that, but they also had this staggering experience of hearing God's very own voice. What did he say to them? That they must listen to his Son. Jesus is not a mere man or prophet, but God's own Son, whose teaching carries divine authority. And because Peter and the other apostles were directly taught by Jesus, this enabled them to be in a position to pass on his words to others. That is why Peter says we should listen to him and to the other apostles. In a sense, listening to them is like listening to Jesus. And how do we listen to them? By listening to the New Testament. That's where their writings have been preserved for us. So, for example, Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, as well as the books of 1, 2, 3 John and Revelation. The Gospel of Matthew was written by the Apostle Matthew. And Peter says we should also confidently listen to what the Apostle Paul says, even though he wasn't with them throughout Jesus' earthly ministry. See if you can spot why as we read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. How does Peter speak of Paul's writings? He places them in the category of scripture. He says, people distort Paul's letters as they do the other scriptures. So we can see here that Peter, though a Jew, didn't believe that only the Old Testament was to be regarded as scripture, but that the letters of the apostles were to be as well. So why can we trust the New Testament? We can trust it because it was written by apostles like Peter and Paul. But what about the books in the New Testament that were not written by apostles, such as Mark and Luke? They can be trusted because they were written by close associates of the apostles. For example, Mark was an associate of Peter and Luke of Paul. The Gospels of Mark and Luke were accepted by the church, by the early church, precisely because of their apostolic connections. They carried apostolic authority. So why can we trust the Bible? We can trust it because of the New Testament author's apostolic authority. Why else can we trust it? We can trust it because its authors were led by the Holy Spirit. That's our second point. We can trust the Bible because its authors were led by the Holy Spirit. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. How does Peter speak of the prophetic message? He says it's completely reliable. What does he mean by prophetic message and by prophecy of Scripture? It's shorthand for the entire Old Testament, not just the prophetic books like Isaiah. Peter is saying here that the entire Old Testament is reliable and trustworthy. Why? Because its authors were guided by the Holy Spirit when they wrote. So according to Peter, we can trust both the content of the Old Testament as well as that of the New Testament. Both are the Word of God. Now at this point, some of you might understandably want to interject. Daniel, are you saying that we should trust the Bible because the Bible says we should trust it? Yes. Wait, shouldn't we rather have an external source to validate it? The problem with requiring an external source to validate it is that it robs the Bible of its ultimate authority. The Bible claims to be the very word of God, so it has to be an ultimate authority. If something outside it is needed to validate it, it would cease to be an ultimate authority. An ultimate authority must be self-authenticating. One ancient theologian said that the Bible is the equivalent of a philosophical first principle. So we need to deduce that the Bible is God's word by evaluating it internally, not externally. Now, does that mean that we can't learn anything about the Bible's reliability from other sources? For example, from history, from archaeology, or from the study of ancient manuscripts? Of course not. Those things can be super helpful. But we don't need to rely on those things to discern that the Bible is true and reliable. Do you want to judge whether the Bible is trustworthy? Pick it up. Read it. Its internal consistency is mind-blowing. It comprises 66 books written by around 40 different authors in different continents over a period spanning well over 1,000 years. Now compare that, for example, with the Quran. Muhammad taught that the entire Quran originated through an angel dictating it to him in a cave. Muslims are staking their entire faith on what one man claimed. But as Christians, we're not staking our faith on what just one person said. We're basing it on the astonishing unity and harmony found within the Bible, despite its multiple authors from different eras. When we read it, we must rightly conclude that only a divine author could produce it. The most feasible explanation is that the human authors were led by God's Spirit when they wrote. Now, it's worth adding here that although Peter says that the Old Testament was written by authors led by the Spirit, he's not implying that the New Testament authors were not. Remember how he considered Paul's writings to be sacred scripture. Why would he call something scripture if he didn't believe it to be inspired by the Holy Spirit? Just as Peter believed the Old Testament to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, he also believed the New Testament authors to be. But not only did Peter, Jesus and Paul did too. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said to his apostles, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." We see here that it was through the Holy Spirit's enabling that the apostles recorded Jesus' words for us, which we have in the New Testament. And Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, says that all scripture is God-breathed. Does Paul only believe that to be the case for the Old Testament? In his first letter to Timothy, he quotes Luke's gospel, referring to it as scripture. For Paul, Luke's gospel was God-breathed. So, the authors of both the Old Testament and the New Testament were inspired by God. Why can we trust the Bible? We can trust it because it's a divine book written by people with apostolic authority and by those who were guided by God's Spirit as they wrote. If you're not yet trusting the Bible, would you consider reading it with an open mind? See for yourself how Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled centuries later in the New Testament through Jesus. That is one of the best pieces of evidence that the Bible is trustworthy and has a divine author. To conclude, I want to remind us how much more can be said about why we can trust the Bible. We've barely scratched the surface today. If you want to continue thinking about this topic, why not read Kevin DeYoung's excellent book, Taking God at His Word? It's informative, enjoyable, and very accessible. I want us to know that we can trust the Bible. I don't want any of us to fall away like my friend did. I want us to be confident that we have good grounds for relying on God's word. During Jesus' earthly ministry, there was a turning point when many of his followers turned their backs on him, which caused him to ask his remaining disciples, "You don't want to leave me too, do you?" Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, replied to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Oh, that would be our response to Jesus' words. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you that we can trust it. And we thank you that we can trust it because of the apostles that who wrote it. Thank you that the New Testament is written by people with apostolic authority. And Father, we thank you that the writers were inspired by your Spirit. Father, we pray that you would continue to grow our trust in your precious word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.